We have reached the top of the hour on this beautiful day in Schenectady, New York, on the campus of Union College. My name is Drew Buzney, and welcome to Season 3 of The Drew Buzney Show. And we are back broadcasting live through the radio. We moved away from the recording studio, and so happy to be back with all my listeners and all the support I've gotten. It's been a long hiatus, but we're ready to jump right back into it. Coming your way next on Season 3 of The Drew Buzney Show. And on today's program, we get to talk the Celtics as they begin their 2025-2026 NBA season. And we also talk the Patriots and their hot start, their 5-2 start to the 2025 season under new coach Mike Vrabel. And we will start with the Celtics. And it's going to be an interesting year, to say the least. As we all know very well, the Celtics have parted ways with Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, and Luke Kornet, and star player Jason Tatum is rehabbing from an Achilles injury he suffered in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the New York Knicks. And so what does that mean for the Celtics? That means that they are solely reliant on the other superstar, if you want to call him that, Jaylen Brown. And if you're a diehard Celtics fan, that has to worry you. And I will start by saying, I'm not going to be too negative. I mean, I end up will because it's Jaylen Brown. But I still want to point out that Jaylen Brown is a very, very good basketball player. A few years ago, he was the highest paid basketball player. And that makes sense because he was the Finals MVP. He was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He does show up most of the time. And I highlight that most of the time because I'm already envisioning games this season that it's a close game for the Celtics. Maybe a two-point game, three-point game, coming down to the wire, clutch time, which we already know the Celtics are very poor at. And now with their revamped roster, say we're back in clutch time, Jaylen Brown is going to be dribbling down. He's going to use his left hand and he's going to dribble it off his foot or do something wildly idiotic. And it's going to be a turnover or he's going to heave up a shot that has no way to ever go in. And that, if you're a Celtics fan, is that's what you're going to have to get used to. Because Jaylen Brown is the number one option, people. And I don't agree with that. I think Derek White is obviously should be the number one option. But I think the consensus probably with Joe Mazzulla is you go to the highest paid, I guess the best player with the most accolades. And right now that's Jaylen Brown on the team with the MVPs, the money, and I guess the stature that he has in Boston and that he's had even when he was the number two to Jason Tatum's number one. But that to many people makes him seem like he's the go-to guy. And I think in the clutch times, it's a mistake. You saw last year, and it was not a perfect year for the Celtics by any means. There were some rough patches, but large part, Derek White was the best player on that team in the fourth quarter. I remember vividly the amount of threes he hit, the defensive blocks he got, the turnovers that really changed the way the game was going. And more times than not, it was Derek White over Jaylen Brown that made those plays. And so I think to sit here and say that it's going to be Jaylen Brown who gets all these opportunities over Derek White, I think that's foolish to say. I personally believe it should be Derek White based on what he's shown us the past 2 years. And yes, he doesn't have the MVPs and all that, but I think he has a way of taking that deep breath and hitting the shot that matters. You see a lot of times with Jaylen Brown that he seems to get rushed. And when he gets rushed, the skills that I guess he works on all summer go away. You saw it in the preseason game too against the Raptors a couple times where all he had to do was dribble and pass. And he seems to overcomplicate everything. Goes off his leg and out of bounds, or it goes behind him and then he has to dive towards half court to get the ball. And then by then the shot clock's already down too and you're making your first move when the shot clock's expiring instead of when there's 18, 17 seconds on the shot clock, when I think the stats show and the Celtics stats show that they're a better team when they get into their action early on. And when they have trouble, it's because they dribble up the ball and Jaylen Brown gets it. Then he loses it and they have to recover it. They pass it. And all those chaotic moments and the shenanigans takes up time on that shot clock because they don't get in their motion and then they heave up the shot. And they don't have the caliber of players or the five stars on the court where, you know, last 5 seconds, 3 seconds on the shot clock, they're going to make it more times than not. They have a far less skilled roster. And so if you get into the possession by possession where it takes forever to get into your action and to take the shot, it's a recipe for disaster. I think you have to realize that this team's skill level has decreased substantially from last year, and they're going to have to rely on other things, and that's working as a team. They have a lot of young players. They have Anthony Simons, who has never really faced a winning culture in the league. He spent years with the Trailblazers, and they suck. You have Hugo Gonzalez, who seems to be a good defensive player, but he's a teenager, I believe, and he's never played in the league. And you really don't have a center. You have Keita and Boucher, who, yeah, they're solid, but to me, they're only ever role players. So you really have to develop the team nature. And on top of that, every year we say it's defense that matters, and you really see it coming out of training camp this year, is that they are really, really, really working on that defense. The defensive intensity is up. Sam Cassell said it's the hardest training camp he's seen in, I believe, 30 years in the league. And that speaks to the challenges the Celtics face this year, is that you can't just rely on one player, three players, that every single day you're going to have to bring this whole team, because if someone's not doing their job, you're going to lose. You're going to get blown out. We just don't have the skill set anymore. And as much as that sucks, it's the reality of the way the CBA works and the pay works in the NBA. And I'm not saying it's a down year. I am the strong believer that the regular season really does not matter whatsoever. If you're a team that has the expectation to make the playoffs and you want to make a deep run, I just don't see it mattering if you're the 1 seed versus the 8 seed. I really don't see home court mattering anymore. Just the amount of times you see the away team winning. We'll go to a different sport. Look to the MLB. I mean, Seattle won 2 games on the road in those first 2 games, and the Blue Jays won 2 games in Seattle, and then the Blue Jays end up winning both at home, but those first 5 games, the away team won 4 of them. You look at the Celtics, they lost those first 2 games at home court against the next games 1 and 2. So I just don't see home court really having the effect it used to have. So who cares if we have the best record in the NBA or we squeak by in the play-in game? The goal is to make the playoffs, because once the playoffs happen, all you need to do is be hot for a month. That's really all that matters. And it's what I've realized in recent times, especially with how good the Celtics have been in recent years, that year after we lost the Warriors in the finals, we had that great regular season, but we sucked when it came playoffs time. And so it doesn't matter. Because if you're not good at the end of the season, who really cares? So with that, I caution Celtics fans, and I'll hold myself to the same standard, that we can't overreact. Because if we're a 500 team by the trade deadline, that's okay. Because it doesn't matter. It really does not matter. I really do not think it matters whatsoever. Just make the playoffs and go from there. And just to wrap up the conversation, as I've talked about, I think it's a Mighty Ducks year. We're not going to be the most talented team, but at the end of the day, it's the TEAM that wins. So, go Boston Celtics, a.k.a. the Mighty Ducks, for the 2025-2026 season. And with that, we'll take a quick break as Season 3, Episode 1 of The Drew Busney Show kicks off. And as I welcome you back to the final part of today's episode, I would like to talk about the New England Patriots. And they have a 5-2 record, first place in the AFC East, second place in the AFC. The year is going well. And I've heard the arguments in recent days about, oh, they have the easiest schedule, they have the easiest schedule. I mean, for a team that had, 32 losses in the past 3 years, yeah, we should be given the easy schedule. We've sucked. That's how it works. If you're first place in your division, you play pretty much all of the first place teams, and we've been terrible for the last 3 years, so we're going to play all the worst teams. So if our team's getting better and we're playing all the worst teams, oh well. It's not like we were the best team in the league the past 3 years, and then the league said, oh, let's give the New England Patriots the easiest schedule. No, we were terrible. We had 4 wins the past last year and the year before. We have back-to-back 4-13 seasons. Like, of course we're going to have the worst schedule. So that argument, I think, is BS. And I'm sorry that we made improvements and we improved our team and we're given the schedule we're given. But you go to next year and you saw with the Giants a few years back that if we get first or second place in this division, we're playing all the other first and second place teams. So, yes, our play could be inflated by the teams we're playing, but we could also go to next year, play all these first and second place teams and lose all the games. So, or we could win them. So I think that argument is flawed. Yes, we're not playing the best teams in the league, but we put ourselves in that position. That's a fault of our own. We were terrible. And bad teams aren't supposed to improve. We don't really see that in a lot of these bad teams. The Titans, the Saints, the Jets, they're never going to get better. But for New England, we want to get better. We want that 7th Super Bowl. And so our wins might be a little bit inflated, and you could say, oh, we haven't got a real test. And I agree with that. But to say that, oh, we're playing the worst teams, it's just a fact of it is. We play all the worst teams because we were a bad team. And I think we still are a bad team. We're by no means to the level of a Super Bowl contender. We might be a wild card playoff team, but barring a magic run, we're maybe 1-2 rounds and we're done. I don't really see a Super Bowl Sunday competing for the win in the last 2 minutes of the game. And that's just my opinion. And that's because these teams haven't been tested. And we have a couple of tests coming up. We play the Browns, and then we go Falcons and Buccaneers. And I think those are the real 2 wins. And the team has done good with trap games. Not getting too cocky. Oh, you come off that big win against Buffalo, and then you play the Saints and the Titans, 2 1-win teams, and you could get lackadaisical and be terrible, and the team didn't. Yes, they weren't perfect games. They're by no means the best game we could have played, but you still got the job done, and at the end of the day, you win by not losing, and the Patriots have been doing a better job of that. Aside from that Week 3 game against the Steelers where we lost that game with all the turnovers, we really seemed to flip the switch, and Vrabel said it in his introductory press conference, whatever it's called, saying that you win this league by not losing. And we've been doing that these past 4 or 5 games. And so that's what I like to see. That's what we want to see. Because then when we play these better teams, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, if we can hone in on not shooting ourselves in the foot, that's going to give us a chance. And to me, all we got to do is split those good teams, because that's the real test. All these people saying, oh, they're playing the worst teams in the NFL, which we are, again, by no fault of our own. That's the test to see where we are in comparison. How far is our rebuild, our progress going? In terms of the offense, it's not perfect. They go through some long, rough patches. It seems that they play one bad half and one good half at a time. Saints, they had the good first half and the bad second half, and then vice versa in the Titans, and also the bad first half in the Bills, and then they started playing well. So they've yet to play a full 60-minute game offensively. Same with the defense. The defense definitely seems to struggle in those first 3 drives of the game. You saw that a lot in the Saints and the Titans, where they really drove fast down the field, and they scored 10 points, the Titans did, in that first quarter, and they scored 3 more for the rest of the game. So the defense definitely shored up, but that's definitely worry. The starts worry me, that it's complimentary at the end of the game based on what happens, but it's not complimentary football at the start of the game. The defense really gets run over, and the offense is hit or miss. We don't know what half they're going to come and play. And so that's what worries me when we go play these good teams, is how are we able to play 60 minutes of football? I saw it a little bit against the Bills, aside from maybe that first quarter with the fumbles and the turnovers, but with the Titans and the Saints, I haven't seen a full 60 minutes of football by us. And it doesn't matter if we go to the Bucs, we play a great half. If we suck in the second half, we're going to lose, and who cares? We got to play a full 60 minutes. And Drake, the offense is good. I think they realize that they have to let Drake May throw the ball down the field, because that's how we excelled at UNC. And this whole short throw it to the side, they throw it behind me, let them run. Yeah, that's Josh McDaniels' offense. I like the... For the word I am not thinking of at this moment, I guess the escape pass, if you want to say, that if there's nothing down the field, Drake May always has the running back or someone to his side to just dunk the ball down and hopefully get a few yards, which I like. But I think we started the year doing too much of that, and we've turned to letting Drake May throw the ball down the field, and I think that's the way to go. Is that's what making him feel comfortable, and I think that's why you see the success he's having. And yes, he's not playing the best defenses. The Browns have a great D-line. That's going to be a big test for the Patriots' offensive line. And I think we're giving Will Campbell a little bit more credit. He's played well, yes, but not perfect. 4 false start penalties. He's had a couple, missed a couple blocks. So not perfect. I'm not saying he's going to be perfect, but not to the hype that I think Jason McCourty and Andrew Catalan and Charles Davis was giving him last Sunday against the Titans. But yeah, this Browns test is going to be a test. I don't think their offense is anything special, so our defense needs to come out strong and stop them. But the defense of the Browns is good. That D-line is good. So it's going to be the first, I think, big test since that Bills game to see how, really how we react. And it's a home game. We're 1-2 at home. We're 4-0 on the road. And I think it's about time the Patriots win at home. I don't know what it is. You're supposed to win at home. The Red Sox do this too. Win at home. Yes, we're road warriors. It's great, but let's show the fans. It's going to be rowdy there, man. It's going to be great, and it's really something to look forward to, but keys to this game, play 60 minutes. It's just, I feel like we have so many ruts, and it's, oh, get out of it. Like, what are we doing? Either it's fumbles or just penalties. Way too many penalties. It just, play smart football. That's all I really want to ask going on, because when we get to these tests, that's what matters. If we shoot ourselves in the foot, we're going to lose to these good teams. And I would like a test before the playoffs. But that's all for our first episode of Season 3 of the Drew Buzney Show. A little bit of a rant today, but thank you very much for listening. And we will see you next week.
Hey, it's Amelia, and you're listening to WRUC 88.5.